Hello, we're on the air. This is Bright Lights Pathfinders, Kathy Cook. And tonight I have with me, once again, Medicine Walker. Hello, Medicine Walker.
Good evening. How is everybody this evening?
Well, speaking for the universe, I believe everyone is balanced and in their change. How are you this evening?
I'm doing really well. Rested today.
Oh, what happened today?
Oh, just rested.
Yeah, I rested all day.
That's good. Took a breather, did you?
Yeah, just meditated and rested.
Wonderful.
Very, very calm tonight.
That's a good thing.
Yeah.
We kind of got cut off the other day when we were talking because we had some things going on and I had some things going on. And I understand that Ms. Raven DeBars sent you some stones.
She did. She
yeah.
sent a couple of them.
You have to tell me about them.
Well, she sent me a pouch. And she sent me, first she sent me a package that had several little things in it. And one of the things that it had in there was, it was a box. It's wrapped up in star paper. And Miss Raven had, I had asked her for a stone, and she'd asked me for a stone a long time ago, back in the summer, early summer.
Mm-hmm.
And she wrote me a letter stating that she just was getting together the stones because she only had three packages of them. She wanted four to be together.
Mm-hmm.
And which bag did we open first?
I believe it was the white bag.
Okay.
Could be wrong, but I think it was the white bag.
That's the ones I'm holding right now, is the white bag stones.
Okay.
They're kind of bluish. One of them's kind of a dark charcoal-y blue.
Mm-hmm.
One is a white kind of ash gray. And it came from Colorado at Night Eagles, David and Cherry Night Eagles' home. And the stones are just gorgeous. Sherry's known as Coyote Woman. And Raven did all the beading in her dress. She took photographs of it and where she got the stones of each pouch. And hopefully welcomed me to use the stones on my journey.
Awesome.
And underneath each pouch has symbols. The first symbol on the white stone pouch is indicates for the journey of ancient ones as it took to Medesra Verda, M-E-S-A-V-E-R-D-A.
Medesra Verda?
Yes, thank you for fixing my words. And it stands, it stands for a lot to me. The first symbol she said just happened to become there, and it was for forgiveness. Its shape is like well, I can't even explain it. I'm gonna have to maybe take pictures of these for you or something. But and then the second one is for journeys, and the third symbol is for healing. And the fourth symbol is a bear claw.
Hmm.
And you remember when I opened up another pouch, I said, there's a bear in there. There's
mm-hmm.
a big bear. And so I'm just really blessed to be able to use these things, you know, with my collection, but they're just a little bit different.
I'm sure they had a lot of energy. I know you said when you had them all open and out the other day, you were kind of like, wow, the energy from them is amazing.
Oh, I know. If I open them all at one time and have all the at one time, it's like, oh, my gosh. You can't even, I can tolerate it, but it's just overpowering. That was when I first opened the bags.
Mm-hmm.
I was like, help.
Now, wasn't that a little bit before you read the letter?
I hadn't
even. So you weren't sure that's what they were for?
Right, I didn't even know I had a letter, remember? Mm-hmm. And then I called Raven on the phone, and she told me there was a letter enclosed in the spirit CD of John's, mm-hmm. John Bowers, and that was for my mother. Mm-hmm. And so I'd opened that package because I thought that was just for my mother. It was wrapped in purple. And inside was the letter discussing each place where she got the stones, where she gathered the stones, and a photograph of each, and symbol on the bottom. So I'm just really honored, and just, I cherish their friendship, I cherish hers, and I cherish
everyone. She's a wonderful lady. Very, very intuitive, very insightful. I really cherish the time when I talked to her that day with you.
Yeah, that was a day of healing. And so I called Raven on the phone and got you two together. And I believe what Gifted Within on the phone with us.
Gifted Within was in there too, yep.
You were needing some severe healing and of your heart and your home. And Raven just kind of helped right on through that.
Yep, kind of grounded me. She did.
And she's just got the most beautiful spirit and energy. I just wish everyone could know who she is. Well, Kimberly, which pouch do you want me to open and give you a little help sit to about?
The rust-colored one.
The red one?
Yeah.
Oh, my gosh, I've not opened that one since that day.
I love red. Red's my power color.
It's strong. I don't use red very often, but the red bag is very, very strong.
I have red everywhere in my house.
Yeah, you painted your bedroom and stuff with red, didn't you?
Red is wonderful.
Well, this red pouch, this red bag, these stones are the most mysterious of all. And why she says, why I have given them a home in the red pouch. Red is the most sacred of the Native people, and it contains the most power. Now, This is, oh gosh, no wonder. This is the pouch that I used right after when I needed to get some energy, and it just calmed me down. Okay, the red pouch, she got the, she says, let me see. They came from Ash Cave, where she goes a lot of times on for ceremonies and such. And Ash Cave is a huge atmotheater that falls at one end. It says, in the center of the little valley formed by the falls by the hillside is a huge flat-topped square rock covered in moss. That's where the whites called the Preacher Rock. And during revivals held here in the late 1800s, the preachers would stand on it and give the sermons, believing everyone could hear them. The Native people in the Whisper Rock called in then the exact center of standing that you are elevated. They believe this, that when they stand in the center, that they are elevated for the atmosphere, for the crackles of the energy up there, because you can hear whispers from across the cave and even hear the footfalls from people walking to the cave. You cannot yet see. She said it's real spooky. It says, so these stones offer standing, unspoken and unhidden words and thoughts. The symbols are as follows. For the top, the circle with the V shape along the top stands for hidden voice. The center one is the medicine man's eye and stands for wisdom and watchfulness. And the bottom symbol stands for good listener. What a great one to choose for the radio show. So we are on www.bbsradio.com, and you're listening to Bright Lights Pathfinders, Kathy Cook with her new voice. Oh, man. Inside the stones, Walker, I see, let me put it this way. It looks like that of a kind of like an angel. With its wings spread, it could be a Native American woman with tassels. I'm not sure.
Was that the one that you said they had like angel wings on it?
I don't know. This one that I'm holding
right now. I kept hearing angel, angel, angel.
This one right here has the angel wings on it.
Oh.
And it looks like a medicine woman standing there. And the other stone is split in two where it's been chipped off somewhere. It looks like a cave, and it looks like a person holding out a long stem. It could be a pipe. It could be a flute. It could be a staff. But on the top, it looks like it's a Native American dress with his Indian, you know, feathers straight across the back of his head. As a matter of fact,
can you imagine how old these stones are? How much knowledge they hold?
That's why I've always collected the stone people since I was a little girl. I've been intrigued over the stone people, and I've always wanted to know, because when people go away, that's why I tell them to bring me back something that's a stone or a rock, a piece of the land, because that has never been probably moved, and it knows all about that place. Mm-hmm. And so that's how I became known as the stone, keeper of the stones from the reservation.
And the fact that Raven's so gifted and went out to pick these stones for her and that these stones were called to her to be taken and sent to you, it's very special.
Oh, it's very special. Many people bring me back stones, and they think of it as just, oh, that's a pretty stone, or, you know, with Raven.
They tell so many stories, and they hold so many secrets.
My son, Jason, and Julie brought me back some from Paris and from Rome. Julie's mother brought me back some from, I believe it was, I'll have to get out my thing and see. But it was a cave very deep inside she had to dig into. It was Rome. And she said it was in a ruin. And she had to dig her hand way back in to get a piece of stone. And those are very special.
Very good. Can you imagine the history that they've been through them?
Oh, I know. I know. They're just raw. But now, I do want to tell you, if somebody touches your stones besides the earth or the person, I don't clean all of my stones, but when I do clean my stones, to just get the pure energy off of them.
Mm-hmm.
I'd like to keep the energy from where they laid, is that I put them in some sea salt and water and
a clear
glass for just a couple of days or so. It depends on how long I feel that they need to be cleansed. So, God's found your white stone.
Yeah?
Yeah, I found it yesterday. It was in my pile. I got so many, I have to look around, you know. It was on the hearth in a pile of stones that were from, one was from Asheville, one was from Sedona, Arizona, that Pete brought back, and one was from Jamaica, the bottom of the waters of Jamaica, and one was a piece of ash from the Hawaiian ruins from the volcano. And there was your white stone just going boing. Remember I said
Yeah, you said you misplaced it.
Huh?
You had told me you weren't sure where it was.
Yeah, well, I
knew it was there somewhere, but you weren't sure.
Yeah, I said I need the white round stone.
Yeah.
It's still not the one that the Native American people are searching for. They're searching for the white, complete, circular, and perpendicular white stone. It goes into the pouch of the medicine bag.
Mm-hmm.
It's back to the keepers. And the keeper of the stones of the Native American big medicine wheel. And it's something that I just told you to keep your eyes out for. And you said that they said Abadasher, where you live?
Alabaster, yeah.
Yeah. Tell ya.
Do you have any catlinite or pipe, what do they call it, pipestone?
Pipestone. You were going to send me some pipestone as well.
Yep. Hard, it's like real hard, and it's kind of like a mottled pink and white clay looking stone. Or people use it for carving pipe bowls and pipes.
Wow. You're making me a pipe, aren't
yes,
you?
Yes, I am. And that's actually what I'm carving for you. It's out of pipestone, and it's extremely sacred.
Yeah. Like you have, you called me on the phone to ask me what I wanted on the pipe,
mm-hmm.
and I'll let you tell the listening audience what we decided.
Well, we decided that I went over and told you what I saw coming on it and what I'm carving on it, and the shaft is made out of red cedar, and I drew out the white dove, I believe, and
white dove, you were going to carve waterfalls.
Yep, on the end of it, yeah.
So it was going to come out of a starburst.
Right.
Then it was going to go from the starburst, it was going to go to a dragonfly or a butterfly, you hadn't decided which.
Right, but it started out, I believe, with a white dove.
And then you said that the colors from the butterfly or the dragonfly gave you the colors and what each represented of each dragonfly, the red, yellow, and blue dragonfly.
That's because we had been talking about the dragonfly, correct.
Mm-hmm.
And the pipe bowl itself, I've already started carving.
And then the colors fall into a waterfall.
Correct. In the end, right into the bowl.
Yeah. I opened up the medicine bag that you sent me the other day. I opened it up tonight. And Mama asked me to do, believe it or not, listen to this. My mother told me that house needed cleansing. That house that I'm to move back into. There's evil spirits everywhere. I said, those are my spirits, of the spirits that have always been there protecting that house. They're not people.
Bless her heart.
No, no. She says she could just feel the spirits all in the house, and it needed a cleansing. And then for her to say that, you know good and well, she knows I need to. She knows that it needs something. And it was for Kimberly, the construction workers that are in there, because that house has been ripped down to the cement and built back
right.
up. Except for the outside walls remained at the home. Oh. That's what's drained my energy for. It's not really drained it, but it humbled me.
Sure, and it's a lot. It's rebuilding from the ground up. It's being stripped and rebuilding, and especially when you were in that home for so long.
And each room has a replica in there,
mm-hmm.
and memories of such depth that I want to put back the colors properly. And I told Raven, I said, doll, I've been looking at paint chips for weeks, and I finally got the colors.
Yeah, when you open your stone, the bags. How wonderful. Did she realize what a gift she actually had given you?
Oh, yeah, I know what the gift she's given me.
This is great.
And that's why I hope that, and I pray that, she's able to give these gifts out to other people in the same manner that she gave them to me.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the people that call upon the stone people and need the stone. And her daughter found one when she was young that, well, that's a story that's raving. But I'll share with you that it's a very special story. I'll let her tell you about it sometime.
Okay. I would enjoy speaking with her again. She's really a wonderful gal.
Yeah. I met her through her husband, John, and the Native American music I was listening to, I interviewed him back in April or May. I believe it was May. But, and I interviewed him also in February.
Mm-hmm.
So if any of you active listeners want to listen to any of John DeBoer and Raven's husband's music, it's on my archive on, I believe, an iPod. Registered in May, and I was listening. How I came about knowing them is I was just really searching for a meditative song, and Moons in the Moonlight came to me, and I just played it over and over and wrote about it, wrote
mm-hmm.
to it, and then John told me the story of the music behind it, but it's in his trilogy book. He has now got a Shadows Land trilogy book out, And he's going around and playing music, as he always has, everywhere. But now he's got his stories combined with the music of what stands behind each song. He's got his stories. They're beautifully illustrated by a woman that's a friend of his or that he knows. And they're just gorgeous. So everybody listening, audience, go out and get John DeBoer's trilogy book. And his music, you can get it on eBay.
Yeah, it's on eBay, and then you can also get it. It's available. You find our links. He's on my MySpace, and he's on my business link, and he's on. I think he's on your link too, on your MySpace.
Yeah.
He's around, and it's definitely worth the listen, and you know, a chance to see him. And if he comes to your area, he is just an awesome. Awesome soul.
And his wife makes the most beautiful jewelry. And she does the most beautiful beaded work you've ever seen in your life. It's just mind-blowing that she's able to do such things. She, you know, like I told you, she did the wedding gown that's done in white, the same white leather.
Mm-hmm.
It's not the same white leather, but it's the white leather that, David Night Eagle's wife, Sherry, was wearing in Colorado. And the beaded work is not just simplified. I mean, it is big beaded work. I'll have to send you a picture. I'll put the picture in. She's got this gorgeous shawl on that just hangs her leg. It's just breathtaking.
It's a dying talent, too.
And to know
a lot of the young people haven't learned it, and it's just so amazing to actually see and view it.
It's like this whole beginning of this show is just in honor of my friends, John and Raven, and what they represent in my life. They represent just the understanding and seeking and knowledge and knowing, and for one to be on their own particular path and to share their own path with others and, you know, each to his own in the gifts that we have and transpired. Many forgivenesses and healings and all just journey on your life and it's just recharged. They gave me one set of stones in the turquoise pouch that is for peace and recharge of my spirit.
That was the one that you opened and just went wham.
And calmness, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And I was like, oh, my gosh. Now, I didn't have this letter, and that's what's so neat is to read the letter after I had opened the pouches with you.
Yep, and then to see that those are the colors you've been looking for and trying to figure out, that's pretty good.
Yeah. No, I'm going to have purple somewhere in there, though, because purple is all over each of my special people. And I think I'm going to just have a purple ring. But
have you ever used the spirit horses, the amethyst spirit horses?
The horses?
The amethyst spirit quartz.
Oh, I've got several pieces of amethyst spirit quartz. That I dug up in Hidden Night.
Mm-hmm.
And one's a teardrop I had cut into a teardrop that's about 2 carats I wear around my neck. I'm giving it to my mother right now to wear because she's having a little bit of time with my dad, you know, being
mm-hmm.
past their anniversaries this month. And she feels half amputated off, so she's wearing that right now.
They're pretty amazing stones.
But I've got pieces, and I just gave my little grandnephew a piece of the amethyst that is just, it looks like it's flat, but it has just pyramids of the amethyst just bursting up out of it.
Mm.
Little Parker. He just lost a tooth and swallowed it. But he carried that stone with him out to eat and everywhere he went. Mom said, can I hold that? You want to hold that stone, Mimi? And Mimi said, sure, I'll hold the stone. And she said, now I see what you mean by your stone.
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes we have to talk through little children's eyes.
Yeah.
And voices.
Yes, they're very wise when they're little. The social graces that we're taught as adults to not see things or not talk about things, they just talk and see everything.
I know. Mm-mm-mm. Would you like some call-ins?
Sure.
Do you want me to give out the call-in number?
Yeah, sure.
If they call, they do. If they don't have to. But the call-in number is 877-876-5227. And you can, on the main page, you can see Station 1, where you are, right down to the right, are all the numbers listed. I'm just going to give out that one number because there's no sense in giving out all three. But there you have it. So, I just go from one stone to another hole, and I'm telling you. They just calm my soul.
I'll just reach in and pick up another stone.
I just picked up the white one. Looks like a mother of pearl. Blah. I believe it's even though it's not a mother of pearl, it's a white stone. Got clear around the edges of it, of quartz crystal. And it's round. Got three little triangles on the back where it's been cut into, but the rest of it is just perfect. I call that the bear stone, medicine walker stone. Because I had lost it and found it, and now that's the name of it.
Yeah, that's the way I've been feeling, kind of lost, and I'm starting to find myself again. So that's kind of appropriate.
Yeah. Yes, isn't it? And, you know, they talk to me. They tell me things about people, what a person needs to know and feel. And the spirit animal guides, you know. I went into a room not too long ago. Someone asked, how can I find my spirit, my animal totem? And, so we worked on getting that person's animal totem. Not everybody's born with an animal totem, but I believe everybody is adopted by an animal totem.
Well, I would, if people really stop and pay attention, they're drawn to one or another. And you kind of have a kinship to one or another, if not multiples. I think they follow you throughout your life. Sometimes they change and go through, and as you need them, you know, they help guide you.
Hello, you're on the air.
Yeah, hi. This is Noella from Canada calling.
Well,
hi. I just put on the program, so I wasn't sure of the subject, but you were talking about stones and minerals and. So I just had one question. Have you ever heard of Boji stones? B-O-J-I stones?
Boji?
It's supposed to balance you. Apparently they're very ancient, like almost volcanic. And they're not too pretty to look at, but apparently they balance you. There's a male and a female that you hold in one hand and then the other.
Oh, how are
you? If you had any information about that.
Well, I have two volcanic stones.
Okay.
And they're from Hawaii, however.
Okay.
They are because of that. That's what I mentioned earlier on the show. They're, you know, the stones are very pretty to look at. However, the feelings that I get when I hold those stones are very different. Well, each one is very different as well anyway, but it's nice then for you to share that information that they're for balance.
Yes. I got them from a fair that I went to, and I think if you go online and you type in B-O-J-I, it'll show you the site and explain about it. And because it came from the earth and it's so ancient, it grounds you well. And I find that it like if you're all over the place with your energy and you hold them, and there's the male has a bump, which is funny, but that's what the male stone looks like, and the female is just very smooth. And they're very small, like, you know, they're no bigger than a quarter.
They kind of look like a nugget, don't they?
I beg your pardon?
Don't they kind of look like a small, like a nugget? Like
almost.
Almost like an agate, but they're like kind of like, because they're volcanic, they look more volcanic.
Yeah. Like, almost like, not, they don't even shine, but if they have a little bit of crystal, it's like mica, sort of, you know, that kind of, not really, it's not like a crystal. It's very strange looking. But I've held on to them all these years, and you never hear people talking about them, so I just was curious. And I won't stay on the line, but I just thought, you know, be interesting to hear more about that. But I guess volcanic stones are similar.
Your name
and her properties.
From Canada.
So I'll let you go and listen online. And I thank you, ladies.
Well, thanks
for your information.
Thanks.
Bye-bye.
Thank
bye-bye.
You. Oh, I'm going to have to search that out and see if that stone looks like the stones that I've got. But my girlfriend, Betty Bala, her daughter brought me back one of the stones, or gave me one of the stones, and then my niece Callie gave me another stone from Africa's area, and it looks a lot like that. So you have to, my mother keeps telling me over and over, you've got to find a way to keep these stones and let us know which ones they came from. And a friend of mine that was on the air probably a month and a half ago, Wayne Lewis, who's the bodyguard for Chuck Norris and is a very avid master. He's a grandmaster in many areas, and he is a grandmaster. He said the energy level and the energies in the auras of these stones were unreal. And so maybe Raven will make me pouch. That would be a lot to ask, I'm sure.
Well, the Bodhi stones, I couldn't hear her real well, but they're male and female stones. There's both of them. And I think you have to have, if I recall correctly, you have to have one of each for balance.
Uh-huh.
That's how you get the balance. I believe that the males are actually considered a bigger stone than the female stones, but I'm not sure.
That
I
is
think that's what it was.
Because she brought back two of the stones from Hawaii, from the volcanoes,
mm-hmm.
and one's smaller and one's larger. Oh, now I know. Wow. I love to know the history of behind these things.
Yeah, it would be interesting to find out.
Where
they came from.
What, her name was Delilah. I couldn't hardly hear. But her name was Delilah.
From Canada.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
That's wonderful. We appreciate your call. We appreciate all calls. We love to have call-ins. If not, we just sit and just talk ourselves. And it makes it more interesting when we hear your stories. If you have a story about a stone, or if you have a story to share about anything about your journey, please call in. The one call-in number is 877-876-5227, and the other call-in numbers are on the front page of Station 1 at BBS Radio. Now, there's a plaque of honor of these stones at Ash Cave that she took a photograph of.
Mm-hmm.
Took actually the photograph of the cave itself with the waterfalls falling down. And then she took a picture of a place of honor. And it's just a bunch of stones sitting in a circle. It's not really a circle, but almost of a long line. And it has ancient stone carvings in them. And last show, we were talking about how when I always see my readings and visions and symbols. And I, you know, back when I was a child, and that just goes to show you and I had a conversation about this.
Yeah, but when you were little with the stone.
Yeah, and that, you know, it comes from back in the ways that they used to communicate.
Mm-hmm.
They used to do the carvings on the stone.
The petroglyphs and stuff, yeah.
Huh?
The petroglyphs, where they carve on stones for communication and stories and to tell stories.
And then for Raven to know these symbols, if you could only see these symbols, I'm going to get permission. I know they're mine because she gave them to me, but I want to get permission to be able to take photographs of the bottoms of each and the stones, and so that I can place it on this archive of this show so that people can see what I'm talking about.
That would be wonderful.
Yeah. I don't like to just do things without asking someone, you know, their permission. Because it's just part of her as well as part of me in there, and I don't want to. But I just want to show her symbols, or either maybe I could just tell which symbols and people could look them up. But I don't know if Raven wrote them out herself or what. I've never seen such things as these symbols before.
Well, I would post them up on your site.
I've always drawn symbols, and you know. But they mean that something for me myself, you know?
Mm-hmm.
But I don't know. She says that there's from the, let's see, our pages, it's typed and it's really long, but let's see.
She kind of, if I recall correctly, when you were reading it and talking to me and telling me about the stones, she kind of coincided everything with what she found on them, wasn't it?
Our second conversation, because our first conversation, I didn't know there was a ladder.
Yeah, but when you found it, the colors and everything, the stones that were in each bag kind of represented what was, why they were put in each bag, and energy-wise and all that. Good stuff.
The only thing I don't understand of all of it that's got me really puzzled is there is one stone. Remember one of the first stones I opened up? It had a face on it.
Yeah.
In the shape of a bear.
Yeah.
Well, it was the first bag I opened. Oh, there it is. Wait, at the bottom symbol is a bear claw, a symbol of healing among Native American people, Native people. That's the white pouch. And it looks like a bear. It does. It's got 1, 2, 3, 4 lines, I guess, for the claws, and then a little black circle.
Why don't you put it in the white bag for a reason, too, because white is pure in energy.
It also,
and healing.
She said the first symbol, and it's a circle with two lines through it, almost like a sun or a moon in full moon. And it's got two diagonal lines running across it like a train track, except for without the things in between the tracks. And that she said it just came there, and it just was there, and that represents forgiveness. So, you know, a lot of people need to forgive and heal this world. That would be a great symbol. Because it could be even the earth. I mean, it's a complete circle with two lines through it. Which, for the caller that called in, Delilah, there's your balance. There's balance because there's lines.
And I think we need that. We need people to be a little more forgiving of each other and not so judgmental. And, you know, nobody's walking in anybody else's shoes, you know.
Exactly.
Forgive people and...
That's,
you know, my daughter, that was a lesson that we were talking about one time, and I said, you know, you don't hate people, you don't like things they do. Doesn't mean you stop loving them. It just means you love them a little more, and you just got to forgive them because they're human. You know, everybody makes choices that aren't always good. I have. I'm sure in the road you have. You know, but to judge that, I mean, it doesn't make you any less of a person because you do stuff like that. So, yeah, forgiveness is a good thing. And in this world right now, I think we need a lot of it.
I found that I have to forgive myself first of all things and then go to the others and ask forgiveness or forgive them and then go to God and get forgiveness.
Mm-hmm.
That's how I do it in my order. I kept asking my mother yesterday, I said, you need to... that I'd appreciate it if you would just say that you forgive yourself. And she said, but I don't know what to forgive myself for. I said, you'll find it. You'll find the reason deep down inside. Maybe it's the wounded child or something. I said, but it's real important to me that we all forgive ourselves, you know.
That's the beginning start of process of the healing process, to forgive yourself. And you can't, it's the forgiving and loving yourself if you can't do that. You know, you can't find peace within yourself, and that's like the greatest gift you can give yourself, is to find that peace within, you know?
Yeah. She's got a stone. Everybody in my family, there's 38 of us so far, and I have a stone for each person. When Ashley was building her home, I took a stone from her home. And when my brother was building his 100-acre horse farm, I took a piece of wood that looked like it could be carved, and I want to say a wizard or something, but I know it's not a wizard, but it was right there at Walton's Way, my dad's name, and Stony Hill is the name of his farm. And then I got the stone, but I always ask the stone people, is this the one? May I have you? May I take you from your laying place? And then, you know, give prayer and blessings over the stone before I take it.
That's wonderful.
But if everyone would just look inside of their stone, you know, look inside, you see so many different images carved into the edges of the stones and inside the stones. You see the pictures.
Mm-hmm.
I've painted on several rocks. There's a bigger rock. But what I see inside of them, almost like my artwork that I do where I smear all those chalks all together.
Mm-hmm.
It takes me 2 or 3 years to do one of the drawings.
Mm-hmm.
And then I draw what's inside this chalk drawing. I haven't got very many of those. They're just very special in a while. I've been working on theirs for like a year, but you want that wood.
Yes, I do. I will not deny that. I do.
It has a lot of patterns in it from the termites and wood
mm-hmm.
patterns.
Mm-hmm.
And I just connected the dots.
I just finished the only wood I'm working with right now is the cedar for your pipe. And I haven't been carving because I've been running around like a Lulu lately. But I actually have a painting that I'm working on right now for actually Raven DeBoer. And I hope that John and her like it when I'm done with it. And I'll send it out to you so you can get it to them. And I've been busy with that, and I have the stone that I'm carving.
Maybe the pipe will be finished. It's time to do the real strong ritual on the new, on the old house that went all the way to the ground and came back up,
mm-hmm.
and back into and rain tree. Well, I use Facebook a lot.
Mm-hmm.
Came with an old friend. That rode her sister rode horses with me in at Kirkendall in the cave. Where the in Kirkendall, I was not very old. I was probably sixth grade, and we came.
Boy, that was like years and years and years and years and years ago.
Because I'm 52 now. I'd lost a fair lady, and I was riding with two friends. I was Kathy. She was Kathy, and the other girl was Kathy. It was all Kathy, but they were caves, and I'm a sea. And her sister fell into the ravine after we had already left, and they had all the search parties out looking for her. And I didn't know until later that I could have, you know, I was sixth grade. I could have told them exactly where she was.
Mm-hmm.
But at Kirkendall, there's this huge ravine, and inside of the ravines are holdout holes where the natives lived actually into the wall of the ravine.
Hmm.
I don't know how they got in there.
Oh, I'm sure there was a reason they did it, too.
Only in there was a place for them to lay. It was, you know, it was a circle, and
mm-hmm.
it was for them to lay. And there I found, behind my house, on Rocking Chair Road in Hearthstone, the children and I were in those ravines, but that was the old, that's only 2 miles or so from there. And I found, there's for one thing that represents that place, right at the Native American burial grounds, my girlfriend brought out this concoction that I said, it looked like a key with a spoke on it, and
mm-hmm.
it found the energy. I don't know if you know what I'm talking about.
Mm-hmm.
But it looked like a bee with a pole, and the pole would go up and down. It would swing from left to right and up and down and all around in circles when it would hit a certain spot. But when she came across the spot at the where the stones were laying for the burial grounds, and the kids kept saying, very sacred, don't go back there, you're not supposed to touch them.
Mm-hmm.
The spoke, I don't know what that thing's called. I wish someone would call in and tell me what that's called. But it almost is like that old, back in the olden days when they used to look for water.
Like a divining rod or a pendulum?
Yeah. It was a divining rod or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
And it stood straight outward and went, nee, 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 nee. You
mm-hmm.
know, like found, what did they used to look for back in the day? Radiation.
Like a Geiger counter?
No, back in the day when they would come across a certain thing, they would use that also to find gold
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Divining rods.
Yeah. She has one of those.
You can actually find energy spots with them, and yeah, they're pretty interesting, and they do work.
Bridget's the first one that ever took me to a sweat lodge, and she kept saying, I'm pregnant, and even though she wasn't pregnant, I said, you're getting ready to have me, aren't you? When we went into that, they cooked those big old stones for like 3 days, man, in this big pit. Big Bob did, and his wife's name was Gee, and the tarps were just, the actual sweat lodge was rounded with a lot of tarps on it, just over and over and over and over tarps, you know, just from canvases and leather and anything they could you could imagine, thick. And in the center of it was a place to sit edged out perfectly circular for the people at the sweat lodge, and a place to put dug out in another trench perfectly circular but in the square for your feet, and in the center was the pit. And then over in the corners were places for, only on the front corners of the door were places for the medicine man to sit, for the high priest or whoever was conducting the ceremony, and it was something else to behold, I tell you.
Them stones are huge, and the way they carry them in and everything, and they get so hot. Oh, yeah.
The Jason was going through a trivial time at home, my oldest son, and I asked Paul, the medicine man, if he would. He had two marks right above his breast where he had taken eagle claws and clawed into his chest, with the running through the skin of his chest, and he had done a sun dance where he pulled and pulled and pulled and pulled, mm-hmm. pulled skin ripped from the claws, you know, through the sticks that were holding the claws on.
Mm-hmm.
And he said, and I had some tobacco. I took Red Band tobacco. And he said, I want to take an inch by an inch little square of red cloth, black cloth, and white cloth, and this is how you loop. I want you to make 7 of each. And here's the string, and it had to be so long, and it had to be, you could not cut the string when you put the tobacco inside of each of the 1-by-1-inch square with a pinch. Then we folded it up, and you couldn't make a hole in the material. We had to wrap a certain way with the string and then loop it, and then connect 7 red pieces of cloth, prayer ties together, and then with that, then we had to skip like 1.5 to 2 inches. I'm not sure where my prayer ties are. Well, he's got them, but anyway, I made 7 more of red, and then 7 of black. Black was on one end, and red was on the other end, and white was in the center. And I hung that over my head in the sweat lodge, and Carl called all the people, and he goes, all you strong women in here, I'm just so grateful for the Creator. I said, I'm not. It was dark, and it was hot. He had me keep the door, so I was known as the doorkeeper.
Mm-hmm.
They were finished with the session. They said, they would say, oh, no, we're going to watch the door, or whatever they said. Mm-hmm. The door. And then he said, I said, the door, and come pouring out of there, you know. But inside of a sweat lodge, you get to do a lot of prayer and healing and meditations, and you get to hopefully get into your one self. And then after each session, we would smoke the peace pipe, and we would hold the pipe out, you know, out and to the Creator,
mm-hmm.
and then you would bring it towards yourself, and then you would do it clockwise circular to pass it to the next person after you smoke it. And that was the sweat lodge. Mm-hmm. I dove the ones in West Virginia, or the edges of Virginia, mainly, but I haven't been in a while. Now, Eagles to be free, my friend Eagle, she has been to a sweat lodge near her area. And the drumming ceremonies and the drumming circles are just amazing. I gave Jason, my oldest son, a Navajo drum. Do you remember that for his
mm-hmm.
birthday? And I didn't want to let go of that drum. I wanted to keep that drum, but I beat it. with my heart. And I said, this is my heartbeat. And someday you'll understand it. Because he's an engineer, and he's so into his engineering and true, you know, technical things. But he loves Native American culture. But he was like, this is where I get the graduation.
Yeah, but he knows.
Nearly 8 years of college because he's got a degree in water, soil, and Spanish and science as well, minors in that, and then majors, and his BA is in civil engineering. But I know he knows. I said, anytime you want to hear your mother's heartbeat or film it, you can see that song. But what was so interesting, Kimberly, I don't know if you've ever been, but this humongous drum is probably about 12 feet in circular. And we had to beat that drum at the reservation of Seneca Reservation. The weekend, the particular weekend that I went for the first time was in June of 92. And the drum stays beating for the representation of Mother Earth's heartbeat.
Right.
And we took turns every hour. And that's when I saw my first UFO. And Spider went back into the lodge where everybody was and said, we just saw a UFO. And I was singing Twinkle, Twinkle, Little Star and all that stuff. They've been about it all on tape. I tape record everything. You know that anyway.
Mm-hmm.
I recorded that whole situation along with taking some pictures, but they wouldn't allow us to take pictures inside the lodge or of the drum.
Oh,
but a piece of the drum on the edging of one of my photographs, which I didn't realize was not too long ago. There's one place that I set out. I told him about a dream that I had, and it was about a snake that had come up, and that's when Shinoya was coming to see a lot. And she goes, something wrong. And she said, one day you'll understand. Remember the earrings that I hung on your medicine, Mamie?
Yep.
Well, she said, until I get your earrings made, I will give you this pouch, and it's pure. And I called it a puff puff. It was just a piece of skin. And my girlfriends make fun of me calling it a puff puff because I could wipe it, and I could be a bicycle, or I could be riding a bicycle, or I could be anywhere I wanted. It took me on journeys, this puff puff, until I got my earrings completed by the lady that was making the earrings, the Shinoy. And that's the first time I ever heard elastic. Called Glastic. I can't even pronounce the word. A-C-K-A-L-A-S-T-I-C. And she said my records were in there. And then I looked deeply into that thought, and that's when the stone was the perfect white round stone. Is when God marks our name. Jesus marks our name in the book. My dad's placed at the cemetery and said, your stone is still sitting out there, the white stone. And Kimberly.
Yes, I'm listening. I'm listening.
That's where the white circular stone I placed is. At Daddy's gravesite.
You finally remembered. But that's a good place. That's a good keeper of the stone right now.
I've got, Mama was getting in her car the other day, and a white, this was several months ago, but a white feather fell on her shoulder. And
oh, really?
Then a beekeeper, a white feather was in her car. Mm-hmm. And then after that, a peacock appeared in her yard. Just appeared in her yard, a peacock on 44 acres of land. However, it's in the city because she owns the land across the street and the land that Hill Haven's on. But she said, there's a peacock in my yard. There's a peacock in my yard. And I said, Debbie's a peacock. And you had put on my dad's medicine wheel.
Yep, a peacock feather.
A peacock feather. And it means rises from ashes. And I said, and it drank right out of her hand, out of the bucket. And then she fed it. She said, now I'm going to have to get a peacock sitter to go to the beach. That thought so much, I wish it would just fly on its way. And I said, well, then it'll be gone tomorrow. I said, if you, she wanted it to find its home, its natural home.
Mm-hmm.
And that's the next day it was gone. But Peppy the peacock had come to visit. She shared the first
was a blessing for her.
Yeah. So, you know, that just goes to show you that, oh, and John, in the spirit, he had thought Raven had sent it for my mother, the CD that's got so many songs on it. The creator's voice. Morning Dove, Stars in the Sky, Island Lake, Island of Oak Rogue, Amazing Grace, and Pat's book together. That's an amazing blessing. He has just written a story to about that on, he writes on his MySpace lot.
Mm-hmm.
And he also sends out stories when he's going to do things. And he had just played Amazing Grace and Pat's for some soldiers. And he said there wasn't a dry eye in the house. And they said, oh, well, that's just the dust. He's like, sure. Yeah. And then there's Dance of the Chilla Dolls and Lonely, which is pro, and Dragonfly Dance and Journey Home. How appropriate for this CD was given to my mother. And inside of it, white feather, put the white feather inside of each one of the spirit of CDs. Everyone needs, I just want everyone to go out and get these CDs.
Oh, they're wonderful.
But,
I love listening to him. He's got a very unique sound. It's very calming, very meditative.
Okay, I'm going to talk to Peter. Let's play. See if it comes. No, it's just that song. What? Oh, this is an honoring song. Candlelit. We're going to light the candles. I'm going to light your candles, Kimberly. Now you light the candles. CBS Radio, which lights the candles, all the energies of the world. And so these candles will never extinguish. We'll always have light.
Send you blessings, sister, and all the listeners tonight. Everybody find the peace within.
Find the peace within. Your spot that is no one else's spot. It doesn't rip space in your head. That when someone rips space in the head, it's like a peaceful form. Like, I was on the show last week, and that's a beautiful form. Oh, and in 2 weeks, I have coming on the show Valerie Renee, which is a gifted psychic medium. So she'll be coming on the show then. Well, we're about, it's 58. I don't have a chance to play John DeBoer's music for you because it's definitely not meant to be. Everyone, go on to the archives and go to that place where it's marked and it says John DeBoer. Visit his site. Visit his
MySpace site.
His MySpace site.
Yep. He's got a lot of his music on there.
And I pray that you get to know Raven through just the messages and the voice that, through these stones that I've shared with you tonight. And everybody, Kimberly, Medicine Walker, thank you so much for being a part of the show.
Mm-hmm.
The Bright Light Pathfinder. Everyone's a Bright Light Pathfinder. I'm just one. That's what has the S's in it. We're all searching for the way in the brightest light of the Pathfinder. God bless you, Kimberly. Medicine.
Bless you, too, and everyone listening.
And the universe, many peace and tranquility. Listen with your heart, not your mind. Okay, Beth, we're over and out.
Love you.
Love you.